Good to see each one of you here. I'm going to invite you to turn your Bible to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where last time we took a look here in this church, Church of Thessalonica. We've been considering about them for some time. There, the Apostle Paul, sent by the Lord, part of that Macedonian call, if you will. And we sing a song that's along that way. The apostle had thought to go to the northeast there in Asia Minor, but the Lord had other plans. And if you recall, by a dream, he let the apostle know. And I was thinking about that. You know, we're looking forward to dealing with Joseph in our vacation Bible school. And you teachers, well, here once again, I'm working on something for you, okay? And I'm going to get it to you as soon as I can. But, you know, we just had things at hand. But, you know, the dreams of Joseph that the Lord gave him, and then the dreams that were at hand regarding the baker and the butler there of Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh's dreams, you know, the Lord used those and to accomplish his will and to pass information on to those that needed to be passed on to work in Joseph's behalf, to use him to be the Lord's interpreter of those dreams. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, he was given that dream about that man in Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And, you know, and the thing is those things were true. Those things are right. But remember, those things came when there wasn't the Word of God that we have now. Someone here in recent times I talked to, and they were telling about a dream that they had. And they said, and they asked, well, what wonder what it means. I told him, I don't know exactly what I told him, but I would tell him it's because you had pizza before you went to bed. You know, the Lord doesn't deal with us now because we've got this, that way because we have this. Otherwise, he'd make it very clear that our dreams would be information. I had a dream here not too long ago, and it was a terrible dream. I've never had a dream like it before. And I could become very superstitious my life is in the Lord's hands. But in that dream, somebody was looking to kill me. I never had a dream like that before, but I have no fear of anybody trying to kill me because of that. Now, if the Lord does allow that or whatever, then that's the Lord's business. I don't want to. You know, I want you to think that I'm super spiritual or super fearless or anything like that. We need to trust the Lord for our lives. I'm resting in Him. Because I had a dream of somebody trying to kill me doesn't mean there's somebody going to kill me. Okay? And then if they do, it's just purely coincidental. Because the Lord speaks to us through His Word. Okay? I say coincidental, I mean from the standpoint of us understanding things. And so, but in those days, the Lord did use dreams. And even to the apostle for this church. And they are a result of that, along with some other churches. The Church of Philippi is in that same mix. And they're in Macedonia. But praise the Lord, we live in a day where we have His Word. Amen. We've got the Word of God. We've got it. And we've got it easy. We've got it MP3 on the computer, on your personal hand device. You've got, you know, 4011 copies. Got one for two for every room in the house. We've got the Word of God. And may we avail ourselves to it. And so this church, they were having some trouble. We left off last time there in verse number 5. Remember ye not, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. They had been told and instructed by the apostle about end time events, about the coming of the Lord, about the rapture, and about those things. And they forgot. And we forget. I forget. You forget. It's the reason we got to keep on going back. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, I liken my life to a bucket that's been shot with a shotgun. Pour that water or the word in there, and what's it do? It runs out. Now, by it running out, putting it in there and it running out, I get cleaned up. But I just don't keep it and hold it good. So what's the answer to that? Keep pouring it in there. Keep pouring it in there until Jesus comes. And so they needed help this way. And so we can Not be down on them or hard on them, but learn from their situation. We need to be reminded. We need to avail ourselves to what the Lord has said, and we've been blessed with it being so convenient. We don't have to wait for some particular fellow, say an apostle, to work his way around to writing us a letter or stopping by to be able to teach us something. We've got it right here. And in the church, the Lord promised through the working of His Spirit that He will teach us. He will teach us. And so that's a blessing. May we avail ourselves to it. Verse number 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that He might be revealed in His time. There is a holding that's going on. There's a restraint that is at hand. He's going to speak about that. Going here further in these verses, I'll tell you right now, we know and understand that's the Spirit of God, isn't it? And I tell you what, by our nation going away from God, that Spirit of the Lord, the restraining Spirit of the Lord is being removed from us as a people and as a nation. It is the Lord that keeps disease off of people. It is the Lord that keeps wickedness and sin squelched down. It is the Lord that keeps the wicked ministering spirits of Satan at bay. But because of our departure from God our departure from God and the Word of God and taking the Lord out of everything. You know, I saw somebody else fussing and complaining about separation of church and state. All that means is that there'll not be a church that'll be sponsored, financed, and authorized, if you will, or supported, propped up by the government. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that our government's to be godless. We are to be a godly nation. Sins of reproach to any nation. And, oh, may the Lord help us in that. So there is, now, ye know what withholdeth, and there is referred the Spirit of God is not a thing or an it, but a he. The scripture wording here in the King James is what? Is speaking about the Spirit of God. He's withholding that he might be revealed in his time. The Spirit of God's going to back off and let Satan more have his way. Seemingly, and this one is going to be revealed. Let's see here what the verses say. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Paul, in his day, as he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, the spirit of iniquity is already working. Listen, if it was working at that time, enough for it to be known, how much more is it working in our day? Brothers and sisters, the scripture says we need to try those spirits. Try the spirits, see whether they be of God. We try them by the word. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. I tell you what, you know what we've been blessed with? I want to preach a message on this sometime when the Lord blesses with it and stuff and such. But look over here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 real quick, just a few pages or one page over or so. Look here, the mystery of iniquity doth already work, the apostle said. Look, listen to this in verse 15 of 1 Timothy 3. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and prop of the truth is the Lord's church in this New Testament age, in this day. That's what we're here for, part of our responsibility and our work. Verse 16, and without controversy, there's no argument about it. Great is the mystery of godliness. That's what you and I are involved with. And may we have nothing to do with that mystery of iniquity. Know that it's at hand, a sober understanding that the mystery of iniquity is at work. But you and I are part of this. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. And you know what? Folks believed. What's it say? Believed on in the world, received up into glory. Because he fulfilled what the Father gave him to do. That's a mystery, isn't it? That's a mystery that God would even do that. That's a mystery that an old wicked sinner like Jim Duke could even be brought to be able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord save his soul. That's a mystery. Why would God even do that? As brother said this morning, because he loved me. Why would he do that for you? Because he loves you. Because he loves you and desire to save you. Oh, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness. There is the mystery of iniquity. It is at work indeed today. Only he, verse number 7, back in 2 Thessalonians 2, there in the middle of the verse, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. This word letteth is talking about restraint or holding back. I remind you, let's look over here, Psalm 76. You know, all things are in the hands of the Lord. He is all powerful. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows all. He is everywhere. He works in all things. He either allows, I believe, in the permissive will of the Lord or the direct will of the Lord. Indeed, this whole creation and everything that God's purpose to do is going to come to pass. I believe that there's elements where he just gives leeway. He gives a command. And he gives a directive, and with that directive, with that responsibility, or with authority given, there's a responsibility that goes with it. We have that in the church, don't we? Have we not been given instruction? Don't we need the help and blessing of the Lord? Can we misuse as a church, I'll say as an example, can we not misuse the responsibility we've been given or the authority that we've been given as a church? We can. And you know what? We'll be accountable for it. And that's the way the Lord has done with nations and with leaders and such as that. But look here in Psalm 76, verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. How can that be? But it will. The wrath of man. That's anger with feet on it. Remember how it's going to be in Revelation? Men of the world that under the judgment of God and the pouring out of that judgment from that seven sealed book that the Lord Jesus Christ takes from the Father there on his throne, and he is the only one worthy to look on the book, to open the book and to read the book. And men, when heaven is opened up and the throne room of glory in heaven is opened up, and men shake their fist at God and they curse God and they curse the saints in heaven, that's all going to praise God. Because you know why? As great as that power is, God is greater. And his power is going to be manifested even in them. There's none that can rise up above and defeat God. He says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. If it's not according in the greatness, and I don't understand all about it. I just don't. But if it's not going to work the purpose and plan of God, he's not going to allow it to happen. You know what? That restraining hand, that restraining work of the Spirit of God, only back in 2 Thessalonians 7, chapter 2, verse 7, the mystery of iniquity is at work. Only he, the Spirit of God, who now letteth or restrains, will let until he be taken out of the way. The Spirit of God will back away to allow Satan to pursue the best that he can do. And what's it turn out to be? Verse 8. Then shall that wicked, capital W, a name of the Antichrist, the name of this one that's mentioned in verse number 3 there at the end of the verse, that man of sin, the wicked, till he be revealed. We talked about to what extent will he be revealed. You know, we're waiting for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see no reason at all to change that position. I do wonder, as I told you last time, about how much does revealing mean? How much is that revealed going to be? Known in the world by some as a man that exists, but maybe not seeing his power. Maybe known by those that run in wicked circles, or maybe that are even possessed of Satan and his devils, knowing that they are working to bring a man to power that will be and is the Antichrist. That's talking about the revealing of it. Will he be known by the world as a man of charisma and a man of great understanding about bringing policy together and just really seem to have the answer for everything? Will he be a man that will be able to negotiate with nations and different factions of religion and such like that and be able to just persuade them? to go ahead and line up together? Or will he be revealed so much that the saints of God would see this man is on the scene unlike any man, but he is not God's man. He's a man that's working the wickedness of Satan. How will that be? That wicked will be revealed. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He'll be at the focal of what Jesus will deal with when he comes back. Woe to be on the end of the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, as we see here, the Lord Jesus Christ is prophesied about him coming. And it says in verse number 11 of Revelation 19, we've read this earlier, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Not one mistake. No friendly fire episodes. No getting the account wrong of what this one has done and that one was done and the judgment that's due. He'll be right down the line on everything appropriate. He's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood because he gave his blood. He is worthy to tread those grapes, tread that winepress of the wrath of Almighty God, isn't he? And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies come with him, it says. And in verse number 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And this wicked, in this will be part of his focus, and he will consume him with the spirit of his mouth, it says there, as we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And we come on down here, and the angel that stands in the sun and makes the cry about the battle of Armageddon and how the birds can come and feed themselves. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, just like that. No great dissertation about the way the battle went, the maneuvers that were made, the strategy and the counter strategy. Jesus says it's done, and you're out of business. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Just not a whole lot to it, is there? Because you can't fight against the word of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be consumed. Other passages tell us about this at Armageddon. And how it is that those armies that the Lord will fight against, how they will just consume away before him at his presence. It'll just be an instant destruction for them. Chapter 20, verse number 9. Here, after the 1,000-year millennial reign, we just, as an aside, see this. And this is where Satan and his own unholy trinity had been at work before the battle of Armageddon. Here we see Satan left alone, having been bound up for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit and released. We see here again the power of the Lord as it's mentioned here in verse number 8, how the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Here, after the 1,000-year reign, we see here Satan alone, verse number 9 of chapter 20. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, that is Jerusalem, the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, Satan included. And the devil that would deceive them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. You don't fight against God. You don't fight against his son. I tell you what. This church had to be reminded of these things. We need to be reminded of these things. Oh, we've been saved indeed from wrath to come. Amen? Amen. Back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says here, this wicked will be destroyed by the spirit of the mouth of the Lord and the brightness of His coming. Isn't that something that the Lord Jesus Christ can destroy with His brightness? Isn't that what it says? The spirit He'll consume, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. I think that's what the Lord will do, is mortal men there at Armageddon, even the beast, the man of sin and the false prophet, all that Jesus has to do is let His glory shine. And it'll melt them down and burn them up. Now remember, we're there behind Him on the white horses. Amen? What happens to us? We say hallelujah, and we rejoice in it. And are we consumed? No, we've been given a body that can dwell in the light of His glory and His presence. Amen. Isn't that great? It'll be a destruction to them. It'll be a glory to us, a blessing to us. Isn't that great? Man, I tell you, it's hard for us to wrap our mind around that, isn't it? But it's true. And then it says, verse 9, even him, this wicked, whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now, he makes it very clear, the man of sin, he is not a freelancer either. He's a freelancer from obeying God indeed, but he's at the directive of Satan, that unholy spirit. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And that talks also there about what we read a little bit about the false prophet. Let's read in Revelation chapter 13. Let's take a look there. Revelation chapter 13. And let's read in verse number 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth, listen, and them that which dwell therein to worship the first beast. If I understand this right, this is speaking about that false prophet, the one that is kind of akin to John the Baptist, if you will. Okay? He is kind of akin to that, or kind of a parallel in that. He has power. And of course, John the Baptist didn't. He was sent to preach the word. But he directs everything to the Antichrist. He points to the Antichrist. Listen to this. And exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. That's an interesting point there. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Who did that? Remember Elijah? Remember the prophets of Baal? Remember how the Lord heard his prayer? And the Lord, with the fire from heaven, lapped up that sacrifice that Elijah had prepared, and soaked in water and all that stuff around that altar, and was declared before Israel that day, whoever does that, he is God. See, Satan is a copycat. He does great wonders, makes fire come down out of heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, okay, the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, thus worship. He is God, he says, which had the wound by sword and did live. Ah, what did Jesus do? Didn't we see about that this morning? He died, but yet lived again, didn't he? Satan, the Lord, the Spirit of God's backing up, and Satan's doing everything he can to copy the Lord. But he is a counterfeiter, isn't he? He is. Saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So are those that are left at that time that are refraining from doing so, and he is able to make an image come to life, supposedly. Everything that the people of God have been preaching and teaching about and what the Word of God says about idols, he tries to knock down right here, doesn't he? And he causeth all, both small and great, verse 16, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. He's a man. He's not divine, is he? He is going to have a man for a father. But you know what our Savior? Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has God Almighty for his father, doesn't he? Amen. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So see, we see here that this wicked one is going to be destroyed. He's going to even have that which would work with him, with lying wonders and such as that. And so we need to understand, in parallel to this, or along with this, we need to understand this point. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The apostle speaking to the church at Corinth about those that preach another Jesus. Hear that? That's what this false prophet was doing regarding the beast, regarding the Antichrist, right? See, that's going to be how it'll be known. He won't say, worship God in heaven. He'll say, worship me. The false prophet will say, worship him and this image of him that we build that I'll cause to come to life. Who do we worship? We worship God in heaven. We worship the Son of God who is at the right hand of the Father, don't we? We are aided by the Spirit of God that leads us into wickedness and deceit and deception. No, leads us into truth and holiness. Amen. See that? I mean, it's going to be there. He's going to be trying to do the counterfeit, but he's going to say, it's all about me. That desolation that's going to take place in that temple, he's going to set himself up there in that temple saying, I am to be worshipped. And any man that says that he is to be worshipped is false, isn't he? Look here. And so the apostle warns this church here about false prophets, false teachers, ones that preach another Jesus, ones that preach themselves, if you will, even. And he says, and in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verse number 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They get close. They talk about the Lord, but you got to watch out what Lord they're talking about. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He'll look good. He'll look great. He'll look impressive. But what's he saying? And does it line up with the Word of God? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. How is it that we discern? Same way the Lord's given us to always discern. If what they say matches up with the Word of God, and gives praise to God Almighty in heaven and his Son at his right hand, who's coming back for his people and who's coming to rule and reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years in his reign, and what they say lines up with the Word of God, then they are true. But if they have another gospel, another doctrine, another word that is preached, they are false. We don't have to worry about being deceived if we follow what the Word of God says. And we use it as the gauge, the trying of those spirits. Amen? And so the show will be spectacular. And those that are there without Christ, we're just going to speak about that here, those that are there without the Lord, without the truth, will be deceived. They'll think they've got the real deal, but all that they're doing is worshiping self, Satan, wickedness, and sin. Even him who's coming, back in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Listen, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. They are dead. They are perishing. They are deceived. They have gone the wrong way. They have followed the word of a false prophet. Listen, why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. What is it that the Lord Jesus said? We can look there in Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, and Luke chapter 8. At the parables about the four types of ground. You remember how it is with that first parable? What is it that the Lord says happens on that wayside? On that hard-packed road where the seed goes out there. He said that the birds of the air come there and sweep that seed up, don't they? And when he told the disciples what the meaning of that is, he said, Satan comes and he scoops up the word, doesn't he? He says, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's Satan's business. That's Satan's work. That's what he does. And he will even during this time be doing so. There's an angel that proclaims the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. There's the two witnesses that testify about God Almighty and his truth and his word and the Lord Jesus there for a period of 3.5 years, I think. If I remember that right, the two witnesses. There is that gospel that will yet then go forth, but men will reject it. They won't love the truth. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in his prayer in John chapter 17, verse 17. He says, thy word is truth. And he says about the disciples, keep them through thy word is truth. Remember in John chapter 8 about those that said that they believed. And let's read that in John chapter 8 so we don't misquote it. In John chapter 8, verse number 30, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you're my disciple, you're going to keep following in what I say. It's going to be precious to you. It's going to be desired by you. And in doing so, and ye shall know the truth by continuing in my word. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? And so see, these that we read about here in 2 Thessalonians, we read about over there in Revelation, they perish. They are found in this deceivableness of unrighteousness. They are perishing. They will perish. Because they receive not the love of the truth. The Lord's word is truth. Truth will set one free. Because why? In John chapter 14, verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him, the man of salvation. The man of salvation. And so these, they don't receive Jesus. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. They are deceived. They are blinded. And it says there, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, let's back up verse 9, even him, Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs, lying wonders, and with all, he comes also with deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, they're deceived. They're deceived by him. They're fed a bill of goods, and they receive it. They want it. They want their sin. They want their way and not God's way. And all that is so because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You that are here and not saved, you know how the only way you'll be saved is to receive the truth. And that truth is Jesus. And it's the only hope you have is in Him. Don't, may God help that that you that are here and not saved, that you be deceived. But may you see Christ precious to the salvation of your soul. May we who are saved, may we rejoice in the great salvation of the Lord upon us. We have been, as time goes on and the end draws near, it's going to be more and more and more revealed what we have been rescued from. Oh, may we walk with the Lord. May we rest in Him. May we not be, as it says of these here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's close, so let's take a look over here. May it not be the case with us as it is with those described here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, talking about those in the end times, perilous times that will come. In verse 5, that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. May that not be that. May it not be that way with us. Oh, but may we submit to the Lord. May we hear Him. May we believe Him and trust Him in His Word. Oh, may we not neglect so great a salvation as has been wrought in us. And as Peter said in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ says to them, as many of His disciples had gone away, Jesus says there in John chapter 6, verse number 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who else is there to go to? There's no one else to go to, is there? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure. Are you sure that Jesus is enough? He is enough. He is the all in all, as our brother's talking about the names of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our all in all. We need none other. We believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, Messiah. Messiah for me. Savior for me. Savior for you. That's between you there and the Lord. Amen. That salvation is personal. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ. You're the Savior. You're the Son of the living God. You are our all in all. There's nowhere else to go.